Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the BC candidate call for the currently open BC GNSO Councillor and Nominating Committee small business seat elections taking place on the 22nd of October 2013. On the call today, we have Jimson Olufoyi, Elisa Cooper, Chris Chaplow, Steve Del Bianco, Ron Andrus, Anjali Hansen, Jim Baskin, Philip Corwin, Laura Covington, and Gabriela Slack, and Glenda Sanjuri and myself, Benedetta Rossi. Robert Horgath will also join the call shortly. We have apologies from Aisha Hassan, Aparna Sridhar, Rahid Jamil, Marilyn Cade, Caroline Greer, and Stefan Van Gelder. As a voting officer, I will announce the names of the nominees, and I would like to advise BC members that both the nominators and the nominees qualify according to the BC Charter rules as paid-up members of the BC, and all nominations are therefore valid. Four nominations for the two open seats were received. The formal nominations were received under the BC Votes email address and were acknowledged by the voting officer. The candidates were contacted and accepted the nominations. Today's call will allow a discussion with the candidates. The GNSO Secretariat, Glenda Sanjuri, will act as returning officer and moderator for this call, conducting the interaction with the candidates. Robert Hogarth will act as verifying officer for the elections. For transparency purposes, please note that Jimson Olufoyi was nominated by Gabriela Slack for the NOMCOM small business seat, but he withdrew his nomination. The nominations are the following. Standing for GNSO Councillor, Philip Corwin, nominated by Michael Costello, and Gabriela Slack, nominated by Jimson Olufoyi. Standing for the Nominating Committee small business seat, Ron Andrus, nominated by John Berard, and Anjali Hansen, nominated by Stefan Van Gelder. Candidates will be allocated time for questions in alphabetical order by last name. No questions were received prior to the call. BC members participating on the call may submit questions to the candidates directly, with Glenda Sanjuri running the question and answer session as returning officer for the elections. Candidates may choose to respond on the call or in writing through the BC GNSO list. As a reminder, this call will be limited to 1 hour. Ballots for the election will be sent tomorrow, October 23rd, 2013, opening the voting period, which will close on October 30th, 2013. Only paid-up members and primary contacts will receive a ballot unless advised formally to the voting officer as an alternate voting before the opening of the vote. Any proxy assignments are needed by today close of business. Counting of the votes and checks for the returning officer and verifying officer will take place on October 31st, and the results of the elections will be announced by Friday, November the 1st. I will now turn the call over to Glenda Sanjuri to introduce any questions and lead the discussion with the candidates. Thank you very much, and over to you, Glenn.
Thank you very much, Benedetta. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. I'd like to start by asking the candidates if they have anything to add to their statements that they have submitted. Phil, Gabriela, Ron, Anjali, is there anything you'd like to add to your statement?
This is Phil. I have nothing to add to my formal statement.
This is Gabby. I also have nothing to add to my statement. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Anjali. I don't either.
And that leaves me, then, Glenn, Ron Andrew here. The only thing I would add to my statement is simply that I was, as all of the members know, I had been nominated for a large business seat at the NONCOM, and I had put forward my name, accepted that nomination, better said, and I'm happy to have learned from the members that they see me more in a small business role, and I'm happy to assume that position. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. All the members on the call are now invited to pose questions to the four candidates. I will take a cue, so please give me your name and that of the person who you would like to answer the question. And as Benedetta has said, if you pose the question to the same question to all four candidates, may we ask the candidates to respond in the alphabetical order by the last name? So that would be Phil, Gabriela, Ron, and Anjali. So fine, who would like to start the questions?
Glenn, Chris Chaplow here, I'll ask a question.
Thank you, Chris. Shall I take the cue first? Anybody else after Chris? Chris, to whom would you like to ask your question?
Yes, I would like to ask my question to all the candidates, and it is if they could briefly outline what they consider are the most important issues facing the business constituency at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. So, Phil, could we start with you, please?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Chris. I think the most important challenge facing members of the business constituency over the next 2 years is the continued effectiveness and relevance of the multi-stakeholder model of policy initiation, and whether there will continue to be any kind of effective oversight and accountability over ICANN by anyone. I've been doing a lot of research on what's been going on with the Montevideo statement and the announcement of this so-called summit in Brazil. I'm very disturbed by the fact that the CEO took these actions to declare publicly that the present arrangement for ICANN, with the U.S. being the counterparty on the affirmation of commitments, and as well as the IANA contract, is no longer sustainable, and going out and trying to bring political pressure from other countries to bear on the U.S. Change that, which doesn't mean I'm personally opposed to reconsidering those arrangements over the long term, but I think the way it's being done is improper. I think this idea of a summit with no set agenda, with the way it's being structured, is extremely dangerous and could result in fragmentation of the Internet or loss of U.S. oversight without an acceptable replacement. And tied in with that is the future of the GNSO and concern about the fact that the review has been put off for a year when it should be proceeding, because I think the new TLD program brings the current structure of the GNSO into some considerable question. So I know there will be many, many issues before the GNSO Council over the next 2 years which have nothing to do with these overarching questions, but I believe those are the those are the big challenges for business members involved in ICANN in the coming years.
Thank you very much, Phil. Gabriela, could we ask you your views?
Thank you. I must say that in the first place, I agree with what Phil just said, and I would like to add that as part of the challenges to the multi-stakeholder model, we also have challenges for everything regarding diversity at ICANN, and particularly geographical diversity. And I think that this is a challenge also for businesses. It's a great challenge because ICANN is now facing lots of threats from the internal governance landscape in general. And we need to really understand what's the message of the businesses in this new scenario. And I think it's very important to understand in general what's going on globally. In this sense, I will add that, for instance, one of the challenges that I hear around here in my region is the issue of data flow. I'm not sure if you know that there are some projects around here to change this with internal legislation. So I think this is a big, big challenge for businesses all over the world to keep data flow actually flowing. I think we should pay a lot of attention to this. And to understand that maybe some of the issues that are going on around here are related to these threats, and that we should be really concerned about this and send a message of businesses within ICANN and to the world as well. With that, I will say also that I agree with what Phil said about the new TLDs and the challenges to the structure of the GNSO and everything that is going to be changing at ICANN with new members, new participants, and also this kind of a globalization that ICANN is affording in the next years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gabriela. Ron, may I ask you for your views, please?
Thank you, Glenn. the most important issue facing the BC right now, as it refers to the BC and solely to the BC, is a GNSO issue, in my view. What I've been observing over the last 13 years within the BC, where we used to be a very unique entity in so much as there were very clear lines drawn around what the BC was, what the ISPs are, and the IPC constituency. Now there's been a bit of a morphing of constituencies one into the other. And so there's no clear lines within which to build consensus as there once was. And there's also, at the same time, a fragmentation. If you look at the registries constituency, you have the registries that are members of that constituency. Then you have the new GTLDs that will come in, the wannabes, if we can call them that. And then you have a third group in there that fragments from that, and that is blends versus normal GTLDs. So within all this fragmentation, I see that we're going to have a very difficult time as a community and as a constituency in particular to find a way to be able to come to consensus on particular issues. In fact, it almost looks like we're drifting back toward the DNSO General Assembly, where we have all of us all in one room debating and dialoguing. So it's, I think the question for us is, how is the BC going to work with this challenge in terms of finding its distinct voice within this cacophony of sound? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. And Angelique, may I ask you, please, for your views?
Yes. I want to start by saying that I'm incredibly impressed by the business constituency and the members. The caliber of the members of the business constituency are really strong. They come from really great businesses. They work very hard. They're very engaged. So I would commend overall the business constituency, and I think a lot of the problems facing ICANN are not necessarily things that the business constituency can on its own fix. But I think that the engagement of the business constituency is very high. And the one thing that I see could be worked on, and this is an area that I have agreed or volunteered to do, is perhaps represent a larger aspect of businesses. Right now we have a lot of very specialized businesses, very tech-savvy businesses represented on the BC. And ICANN has a much farther reach, of course. It reaches everyone, and all businesses do business on the Internet. But I just feel that not enough businesses are aware of ICANN's organization, let alone the incredible policy structure and complexity of the organization. And I think as the BC, because we're supposed to represent businesses, I think a direction that we could improve upon and perhaps is a weakness is to reach out to everyday businesses throughout the world, worldwide, and maybe educate them on ICANN and what's coming down the pike. So that I agree with what everyone else has said, all the candidates, that there are a lot of internal issues with ICANN and there's geopolitical forces that, you know, are threatening it. But the BC in general is a really high caliber constituency.
Thank you very much, Anjali. Would anybody else like to ask? Yes, 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 please.
Okay, so this is Gabby Gabriela. I just want to add that also I've been discussing this with other BC members that some of us believe that there's going to be a huge challenge to reach out to businesses around the globe regarding the new GTLD program implementation. So I also think that's an important concern, and I have been working a lot on awareness and outreach in general, and I think we should unite forces with different members of the BC that can reach out to companies, particularly small and medium-sized businesses, to educate, just as Anjali said, and bring more information about ICANN, the multi-stakeholder model, and particularly the new GTLDs. So just wanted to add that. Thank you.
you very much, Gabriela. Would anybody else like to add another point?
Yeah, Phil here. The only thing I would add to what I've said before, and particular about concern about what's going on with the Montevideo statement and the Brazilian initiative, is that I don't believe there's any bigger policy issue for ICANN than the oversight and accountability structure. And I find it quite ironic and somewhat cynical that management is going out and taking an initiative which it says is necessary to save the multi-stakeholder model without in any way employing the multi-stakeholder model. There has been absolutely no communication with the community about these matters. The NSA revelations were well known before the Durban meeting. We could have discussed it then and at least gotten a sense of where the community was at in regard to that. And instead, these actions were taken without any advance notice and came as somewhat of a surprise, to say the least. So that's all I wanted to add. I think we need to insist that whatever the future is of accountability for ICANN and control of the IANA function, that it be hammered out with the community before management goes out and takes additional steps to implement the community's views.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you, Chris, for your question. Would anybody else like to pose a question? Are there any more questions for the candidates?
Maybe we can ask each other.
Or for a candidate in particular? Because we have got two candidates for the GMSL Council position and two candidates for the NOMCOM position.
Okay, maybe I should break the ice and ask a question.
Thank you. That's Jimson, right? Is it?
Yeah, this is Jimson.
Please,
yes,
Jimson.
This is to the candidates. Currently, the 8th IGF is going on in Bali, Indonesia. I would like to ask, how do you expect ICANN, you know, to be more effective in the global internet governance discourse? Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. Phil, would you like to have a go at that?
Well, sure. I think the question assumes that ICANN is not already effective in the or is not as effective as it could be in the dialogue, and I'm not sure I accept that starting premise. However, I'd repeat, I think the most effective way for ICANN to be effective within any context, whether it's an IGF or dealing with various parts of the community or dealing with individual nation states, is to make sure that it's representing on policy matters the consensus views of the community. And, I don't want to repeat myself, but I don't see the basis for the current management initiatives in community sentiment. There was no outreach made. I'm monitoring the IGF. I'm not remotely participating because of the time difference, but I'm following it through people there, through Facebook and Twitter feeds and through press articles. And, of course, just the first day is over. So there's no real basis for making a judgment yet on what's going to come out of that. But I think my perception is that ICANN generally does a pretty good job in its interactions with the other I organizations that manage and keep various parts of the internet infrastructure operating and up to date, and is well-regarded international circle. So I think The structure is there, the personnel are there, but if the positions taken by management in those meetings are going to have credibility and not create problems back within ICANN, there needs to be a better job of outreach and making sure that the leaders have followers on the particularly on major initiatives they undertake.
Thank you very much, Phil. Gabriella, would you like to respond to Jimson's question?
Yes. Thank you, Jimson, for your question. I woke up this morning at 3 a.m. to listen to the open ceremony at the IGF. I was quite asleep, but I listened to some of the speeches, and I just managed to listen to Farid Chahari, and his discourse at the end, he said that if you want to get fast, then you can walk alone, but if you want to get far, then you should walk together. So I think that is a strong message, and the way I see his message, work together, I think he's referring to the whole internet landscape of organizations, but also within the ICANN community. To reflect more voices. I hope that I also agree that there's a need for more accountability regarding the community in all these moves, as Phil just said. But I also agree with the fact that have to keep to the multi-stakeholder model, but also to a representation of the whole world. And for that, I think it's very, very important to do more outreach activities and to actually become a more international or diverse organization that will be able to gain more credibility around the internet governance landscape organizations in general. So I think the way of being more effective is by being more representative of the whole world, listening to the community, and doing outreach to have more members and more members that will actually reflect the views of the whole world. I think it's a very, very challenging time for ICANN, and we should support more participation, more awareness, and this way we will achieve more credibility around the globe. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gabriella. Ron, may I ask you for your views next, please?
Thank you, Glenn. The question then is, the IGF is happening right now, and how do we expect ICANN to work effectively within internet governance, is how I captured it. And I see it that we really need a board of directors of ICANN to set the agenda with how that's going to function. And then once the board has set the agenda, the CEO, president, and his team to execute that agenda. And that is, you know, the most important issue in my view. And for this reason, you know, the selection of board members to join the board is absolutely critical, that we have a very strong board and a knowledgeable board. And my view is that business and large board experience, financial experience, candidates without conflicts, this is critical, and this needs to be looked at with a very sharp eye. And so this is what I would bring to the non-com on behalf of the BC, is to make sure that because ICANN is a very big business right now, that it's managed appropriately as a business, and that we don't have a CEO who runs amok. For those of us who've been with ICANN now for many years, we've watched many CEOs come in, and they all look extraordinarily strong in the honeymoon phase. That honeymoon phase isn't a very long one in the case of some, and it's longer in the case of others. I think that Fadi is still very much in the honeymoon phase, but he's starting to take steps that one wonders whether the board has sanctioned these things or is reading about them and starting to realize the depth of these actions. So I come back to the point that for ICANN to work effectively, we need to have a very strong board, and that board needs to set the agenda, and that's what the non-com does, is select qualified board members. And for that reason, I'd like to see that that kind of practice going forward, and would like to participate in a non-com for that reason. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. Anjali.
Yes, hi. One of the themes of the Bali conference is building bridges, and I think that's pretty apropos to what ICANN also needs to do. And I agree that a strong board is highly critical to doing that, and I think it's also incumbent on the NOMCOM candidates to go out and find and seek and recruit board members that will do that. I don't see it as a passive role. I see it as a role where we would actively engage folks who we think would be good board members and from a very diverse background. I think that one of the criticisms and why perhaps IGF is in this role that it is and why there's this tension is because ICANN is not seen as representative enough of the worldwide community. So I think it's one of the most difficult challenges for us will be to go out and recruit candidates from developing countries and other regions where we have less representation right now who are very qualified, and they exist. And we just have to go out and do a better job of recruiting them and promoting them.
Thank you very much, Anjali. Would anyone like to add something to what they've said?
I have a question, Glenn. Here.
Yes, certainly. That is? Sorry.
Sorry, Glenn. I have a question for you.
Hi, Steve. Yes. Welcome, Steve. Please put your question.
Hey, I wanted to thank all four candidates for actually the courage to stand for an election where you get voted by your peers, but more importantly, to stand for the work that's involved when you win. As you know, there's quite a bit of effort implied by these posts. They're servant leaders, as many of you understand that. So thank you for standing. All four candidates provided excellent qualification statements, but I would ask each of you to give a very brief answer. You just tell us this. Among your qualifications, what do you think makes you uniquely positioned at this time in the evolution of ICANN and the BC to deserve the vote of your peers on the BC? So what uniquely about you at this time makes you the right person to vote for? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Phil, over to you, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve, for your question. Steve, when you were speaking, I was trying to just supplement my previous remarks. I'm going to do that very brief, but I had left my phone on mute, so I'm going to do that very briefly and then address your question directly. I just wanted to add to my prior statement about ICANN's effectiveness globally is that I don't want to seem seem that I'm critical of all management initiatives. I think the establishment of the hubs in Istanbul and Singapore and the outreach offices and other places were very good, but I am concerned by, in terms of the IGF, reports I read indicated that Fadi had once again brought up the fact that ICANN was looking at, while maintaining its U.S. corporate nexus, at establishing a legal presence in another jurisdiction. And again, this is an area where this is a central concern for business members of what body of law and what type of accountability there's going to be for ICANN. Will there be a continued vital role for the private sector and civil society and not a government-dominated role? So, again, there needs to be more consultation with all of us before these types of announcements are made. Turning to your question, Steve, I believe that the top skill I bring to the job of GNS counselor, which I conceive of as after the BC, within its diversity and expertise, reaches a consensus position on a matter before the GNSO to most effectively try to get the full council to embrace and adopt that position is the decades of experience I have in policymaking activities and my understanding that nobody gets 100% of what they want, but that there's a need to focus not just on differences but on common ground, and to identify that common ground and build it outward. So I think those are the skills that are needed to build bridges within ICANN so that different constituencies and different interests can work together to the maximum extent possible to pursue their common interests.
Thank you very much, Phil. Gabriella.
Thank you. So in my case, I think what makes me uniquely positioned for geographic diversity in the sense that my network, ICANN and beyond, I mean, in general, in the internal governance landscape of organizations, is complementary to John and to other members of the business constituency and to, in general, the XCOM. So I have a strong network, not only in my region, but also in the whole developing world through my experience in the fellowship program. So people that go through the fellowship program are the leaders of the present and of the future of these organizations, and I can get to them in a much easier and better way because we have built trust relationships among each other. So my network will benefit the BC in a way that has never been benefited before, because I think that this has never been a member from the Latin American region as counselor in the BC. I think there has never been also a member from Latin America in the XCOM in general. Also, I believe that in these particular times, with all that is going on at ICANN, not only with the UTCLDs, but also in the international challenges that we've been discussing, in this scenario where ICANN is facing all of this, we need to give this strong message to the ICANN community and to the world that the BC is a diverse group of big and small businesses, but also of an international group of businesses, not only from the developed world. By having two representatives and assuring one is from none of the U.S. or the developed countries, we will be able to send this message together with, of course, other activities that are related to bringing diversity in general within the D.C. So I think that would be my unique way of my uniqueness, I mean. Of course, I said other things about myself, about my skills as a negotiator or as a mediator, but I think that that's what makes me really different and that will benefit the D.C. Of course, I understand that with this position, I would be representing the D.C. positions, and this is, of course, the role. But I will also be bringing different views from different and different networks and building bridges that are relevant for us, and that will help us make a difference in the GNSO in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gabriella. Ron, over to you, please.
Thank you, Glenn, and also thank you, Steve. This is a very good and pointed question, and I appreciate it. Among my qualifications, what uniquely positions me to take on the non-com seat again for a second year is the long history I have with ICANN. Over the course of ICANN's history, I've missed about 3 to 4 meetings. So I am very familiar with the growth and the dynamics of ICANN from the beginning through to this day, and can appreciate the quality of people we need to be adding to the various positions that the non-com is tasked to do. The second is the deep understanding of the non-com process. Now, having participated on it last year, I'm very clear on what the non-com 2014 needs to bring to the party, as it were. And one of the things that we spoke of often was let's raise the bar so that the 2014 non-com really has to do that much better than this past one did. So we have a good sense of camaraderie within that group. The third, then, is I'm a bridge builder. That's by nature. I come from a long career of sports, and as many of you know, and as a result of that, I realize how important it is to have cooperation within your team if you're going to have success. So I am very long in that suit. And then finally, I'm completely unconflicted. I have no dogs in the race on any front, and therefore, as an unconflicted member, I think I could bring value as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. Anjali, over to you.
Yes, thank you. I think what I bring to the table is fresh, new energy and brand new networks across North America. I'm supposed to be representing the small business seat, and we represent over 381,000 small businesses that we work with that are in our network. Those are just the accredited businesses, but we reach out to many, many businesses across North America, and we also work a lot with other countries and form partnerships with Japan. We're about to start an entire best business bureau in the vast and growing market of Mexico, and I have a lot of contacts and new areas that I can help. I can reach in new networks that perhaps people who've worked very hard for so long in the ICANN system, they know that network very well, but I bring a brand new outreach effort and network to the organization, and I'm passionate about building bridges with developing countries. And I've already set up. I've already set out some outreach goals with our developing member representatives on the BC, Jimson, Mahmoud, Gabby, to reach out to businesses in their area. And I think that's really what ICANN needs right now. They need to be outward looking and reaching out to beyond their inner circle and beyond their inward-looking policy, issues. I think they have to realize their effect that they have on the rest of the world. And I think it's also important to allow new people to fill some of these seats so that I appreciate all the work that people have done who've been there since the beginning of the Internet and the beginning of ICANN. I truly admire them very, very much. But I think it's also important that new people are allowed to serve and bring in their experiences and perhaps more of the outward world's perspective. And I do not have any conflicts either.
Thank you very much, Angelique. May I ask for another question, please? Questions?
Yes, this is Bill Smith.
Yes, and, Bill.
Yeah, my question
please
is
go
for
ahead.
All the candidates. My question is for all of the candidates, and is around basically who they, and larger question, who ICANN serves. Does ICANN serve itself, or should ICANN be serving a larger community, basically the public? And if so, how will they serve the larger public as opposed to a small constituency?
I'm sorry, I cannot hear Bill properly. Can someone repeat the question, please? There's a noise in the line.
Bill, could you repeat your question, please?
Sure. It's around for all of the candidates. Who are they serving? Who? Okay. Number one, small question, and the bigger question is, who does ICANN serve? Does ICANN serve the ICANN community, or is it serving the public? And how you choose to answer those two questions, I'd like to know then how the candidates would execute their job.
Gabriella, did you get it this time?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. So, Phil, we'll start with you again, please.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Bill. I think it's clear that ICANN, while it needs to be a well-managed, well-run, and solvent organization, it serves a public purpose. It has the responsibility to maintain the global internet addressing system in a way that's reliable and secure, and is pursued in a manner that's consistent with the global public interest. So I am concerned that if changes come where ICANN is not as accountable and is free to go off on its own, that it could become a very self-serving organization, particularly when you look at the type of income that's coming in now, where an annual budget approaching $200 million a year, close to a third of $1 billion in UTLD application fees, more money to come in from contention auctions. I think there's nothing wrong with ICANN finally having substantial monetary resources. It was started with a loan of about $1 million and nine staff people, and now it's got a $180 million annual budget, and it's moving up to 300 staff people. But there's got to be accountability to make sure that it serves the broad global public interest and not just its own internal interest as a institution, where there's a great danger with that type of income and without sufficient accountability. I think there's also something we need to all watch. There's nothing wrong with adding staff, particularly as new global offices are opened for international outreach. But if you know anything about large organizations, people in them, when you hire bright, ambitious people, which is generally the type of people hired by ICANN, they want to move up the career ladder. And if moving up the career ladder becomes more a matter of pursuing top-down management initiatives rather than supporting the community in a bottom-up process, that's another danger. So that's my view as to what I can do about it as a member of the GNSO Council. That's a challenge. It's just one vote on behalf of one constituency within a broader group, but I have no worries that the BC members will be watching these issues, will be tackling them, and that the views coming out of the BC, which it would be my role to represent on the council, will be views that take ICANN's global responsibilities to the public and the need for adequate accountability and transparency into account as we go forward.
Thank you very much, Phil. Gabriella, you are next, please.
Thank you for the question. Regarding, I think that Bill asked first, who are we serving? So if that's the question, is the way I understand it, I have two answers for that first question, in the sense that, on the one hand, well, as said in my statement, I represent an organization which is a federation of e-commerce chambers in Latin America. That means that each chamber has its own members from each of the Latin American countries. So at some point, I'm representing all of these organizations, and with our activities and initiatives, we reach around 80% of companies that are active online. But at the same time, if I'm elected as GNSO member, as GNSO counselor, in this case, it's different because I will be expressing the BC consensus views at the council level. So I will be serving the BC, and I will bring the voice of businesses to the GNSO, and will be sure that what is decided within the BC will be reflected by the councilors inside the GNSO. Regarding the second question, of course, I agree with Phil that I can, well, in my case, I think that I can ease a community that serves the public interest. That's the way I see it. It's not that it has to serve its community, but this community is here to serve the public interest in general. That would be my answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gabriella. Ron, over to you, please.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. How do I serve, and or who do I serve, number one, and then the bigger question, who does ICANN serve, the community or the public, and how would I interact with that? The answer to the first question, I serve the BC, and anyone who's elected by BC members to fulfill any role within the constituency has been given a specific mandate to do exactly that, to serve the BC. And that's the role I see myself playing. The larger question, who does ICANN serve, the community, the public? Clearly, ICANN mission creep has been around for a long time, but it's exploding much faster now with so much staff and such significant budgets as we have and hundreds of millions of dollars on the bank. So this, again, comes back to my point earlier about the importance of selecting a board that sets an agenda. And I think with respect to having people who have less experience in ICANN, getting those individuals, that's something we want to be mindful of so that we're clear about who these individuals are that we're selecting to fulfill these important missions. And ICANN's mandate really is to serve user interests. And that subtlety, that nuance between serving user interest and yet steering us clear of the shoals of ITU and other threats that ICANN has, they're competing interests, and you really need to have a very broad experience of ICANN to be able to fill those roles. So I see that the non-com is the same. Our job is to ultimately serve the public interest, and in order to do that, we need to make sure we do very, very careful selections. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. Anjali.
Yes, hi. I work, I'm the second lawyer in the organization. I'm the deputy general counsel for a large business nonprofit association. So we don't serve, our mission is marketplace trust, and it's to promote standards that businesses will adhere to protect consumers and also to enhance the business's trustworthiness, and in that it helps promote businesses. So I see us as somewhat parallel to ICANN, getting to your next question, which is who do they serve? And they definitely are supposed to be serving the public. They're a not-for-profit as well, just as our organization. They're a public benefit corporation, technically. So they are not to be, their mission is to provide the security of the Internet, and that's for all users of the Internet. It's not for a contracting party to exploit profits through domaining or anything like that. It's really to provide the stability of the Internet and the domain name system. It's a very technical role for the public's benefit. So the way that I see that I could help promote ICANN's mission is to find candidates that aren't too wedded to any one particular constituency group, somebody who really takes the mission of ICANN seriously and that it's for the public benefit at large. And as a NOMCOM representative, I think that we are supposed to be representing ICANN's mission more than anything else in their public mission. And so I would definitely see it in that vein. And I don't believe that we should be representing any particular group. Even if I am representing the small business group, I think you want to make sure that overall that the entire organization's mission is being accomplished by whoever you nominate.
Thank you very much, Anjali. We have about 9 minutes left on the call. Could I ask another question, please?
Well, hi, Glenn. It's Sarah. I have one more question.
Hi, Sarah. Please go ahead.
Okay. This is kind of the flip side to Bill's question, but sometimes we've heard inside the BC that once people get into particular positions, are they really there representing the constituency or themselves? And so I'd like each candidate to kind of talk about how they intend to represent the constituency in their various roles. I think that would be helpful.
Thank you, Sarah. Over to you, Phil.
Yeah. Good morning, Sarah, and thanks for the question. Let me start by on the last question, I hadn't understood that we were being asked to say who we represented. I think you all know I've been a member of the BC for 6 years representing the Internet Commerce Association, which represents domain investors and developers. I've been very active in the constituency. We've agreed with the BC on most issues. Sometimes we disagree, and I've been very careful in speaking outside the BC, but within ICANN, to state that where there is a disagreement, I'm expressing a client's view, not my own. But I think I'm pretty much of a known quantity to members of the BC after the years of involvement and participation, both telephonically and ICANN meetings. As to who I would serve if honored by the election to this position of GNSO counselor, my sole goal would be to completely and faithfully serve the business constituency and the positions it has reached on matters before the BC, where I would use my knowledge of cyber law, of intellectual property law, and my experience in negotiating policy matters on behalf of the BC. I would keep the BC informed of the state of discussion of key issues within the council. I would come back to the members of the BC for guidance when I felt that was needed because of developments on those issues. But I am running for this position solely to serve the BC and not to advance any personal agenda or any agenda of any client, whether it's ICA or any other client which may have interest in ICANN matters. I understand what my responsibility would be if I'm elected to this position, and I would put 100% of my energy into fulfilling it as best I could on behalf of all of you.
Thank you very much, Phil. Gabriella, you are next, please.
I was mute. Thank you for the question. I also understand, as just Phil said, the responsibility that comes with this position. I think that in my case, I don't have any client, or actually there's almost no information about the new TTLB program, so I have no relationship with any new registry. Actually my work is to bring awareness in my region about what's going on at ICANN. And in general, the way I see my position is a position in which I will be guided by all of you, as it has happened from the beginning that I joined ICANN and the BC. From the start, I have been learning and learning endlessly. It has been an amazing journey, and what I want to do is to keep learning and to be able to serve the public interest, as we just said, in the best way. And also, as I said before, to bring diversity to the BC in general and to ICANN in general, but always representing the decisions and the consensus that we take at the BC. I think this is a very, very important role, and I will do it with good faith and responsibility. And I'm very passionate, and what I want to achieve is to represent you the best way possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gabriella, Ron, over to you.
Thank you. So with regard to representing yourself or representing the constituency, on the last call, I think I made very clear that my activities within the NONCOM 2013 were really to bring everyone together and park our constituencies at the door. I took a leading role in that activity that we said our constituencies have sent us here. However, we have a specific role that we need to be true to each other and to our committee to find the exact right people, the best people we can find for these particular jobs. And so that would be the singular focus of the committee, to serve ICANN and end users. And so that's what we did. I also pointed out in the last call that when we actually arrived on the first meeting at the NONCOM, at that moment is when the constituencies are parked outside. So while we're serving the interests of the constituents in so much that we're serving the interests of ICANN to find the absolute best qualified individuals to take on the roles within council, within the ALAC, within the CCNSO, within the board of directors of ICANN, that is important to understand that distinction, that while we're representing the BC because we've been sent there, our job is to find the absolute right person. It's certainly not about about trying to advance ourselves. And over the past decade, I've personally covered all of my travel expenses to ICANN at my own expense. I've never been privy to funding, and I think that shows the dedication that I have for ICANN. I would also point out that while others have used their various roles within ICANN, and we know them well, to build their businesses and develop their businesses, I have not taken that road. So I think the clear point here is that we represent our constituency to the best of our ability, but when we get inside the non-com doors, we represent ICANN and end users with the perspectives that we bring from our constituencies. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ron. Anjali, over to you.
Yes, I agree completely with Ron, I must say. I've read all the background on the nominating committee, the code of conduct, and really what we're supposed to be doing is, while we come with the perspective and the background and experience of our constituencies back from our private lives, as well as from the BC, we're really supposed to be acting only on behalf of the interests of the global internet community and within ICANN's mission. So we are not supposed to be beholden to any constituencies, but we're nominated by those constituencies because of the backgrounds that we bring and the belief that we will, of our constituencies, that we will have the integrity to do to follow the guidelines of the bylaws and support the overarching mission of ICANN and the stability of the internet.
Thank you very much, Anjali. And that brings us to 1 minute before the hour when we close the call. Is there anybody who'd just like to add something before we close the call? If not, may I thank the four candidates, and may I thank everybody who asked questions on the call, and for all those that participated in the call, thank you very much, and thank you very much for asking me to lead this call again. And it is just left to me now to say good luck and good elections. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thank you all.